The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you Journey Through History Club. We'll be meeting the 8th, that's today, Books for Math Learning, Web Disabled, Blind at Learning Ally. These are helpful for both instructors and students with math disabilities who are blind. Why a school for blind musicians was evicted at Christmas time. That's an article by Corey Kilgannon. The CCLVI does not stand for 256. It stands for the Shigert Scholarships for 2019 and 2020. Those applications are being accepted now. NFB scholarships for 2019 are being accepted now. Erie Canal boat cruise at the convention this July. Eyes on Success had an episode with the National Library Service Director. A physical activity survey at Old Dominion is recruiting people. And today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. Reminder, this January only, A Journey Through History, to meet on January 8, 2019, to discuss The Bully Pulpit, Theodore Roosevelt, William Howard Taft, and The Golden Age of Journalism by Doris Kearns Goodwin, DB77807. Hi there. In deference to the New Year's holiday, in January only, we will meet on the second Tuesday, January 8, 2019, to discuss the first 9 chapters, 13 hours, which covers the era prior to Teddy Roosevelt's presidential inauguration, which occurred September 14, 1901. Topic, A Journey Through History, meets second Tuesday of this January only at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern. Join us January 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Join from PC, Mac, Linux, or iOS or Android. https://zoom.us/j/177809772 or iPhone 1 tap 1408638096, :177809772 # or 1646876993, :177809772 # Telephone in the U.S. Dial for higher quality based on your current location. 1-408-638-0986 or 1-646-876-9923. Meeting ID 1778-0977-2. International numbers available at zoom.us. 229-556-1456. https://zoom.us/UYCQ4DR N. NLS Annotation, The Bully Pulpit, Theodore Roosevelt, William Howard Taft, and the Golden Age of Journalism, DB77807. Goodwin, Doris Kearns, Reading Time, 35 hours, 0 minutes. Read by Lou Harpenal. Journalism and Media, U.S. History, Bestsellers. Pulitzer Prize-winning historian portrays the first decade of the Progressive Era, when former President Teddy Roosevelt challenged incumbent William Howard Taft for the 1912 Republican presidential nomination and tore apart the party, leading Democrat Woodrow Wilson's victory. Examines the role of muckraking journalists in pushing government reforms. Bestseller, copyright 2013. Download The Bully Pulpit, Theodore Roosevelt, William Howard Taft, and the Golden Age of Journalism. Don Queen, host, historical nonfiction. Queens at pacbell.net. David Faucheux, co-host, historic fiction. Scopist65@gmail.com. Accessible World Contacts. Robert Acosta, Chair Emeritus, www.accessibleworld.org and www.radiooutofthepast.org. Phone 818-998-0044. Email boacosta@pacbell.net. Website www.helpinghands4theblind.net. Larry Gassman, Accessible World Co-Chair, accessibleworld.org, phone 714-449-1958. Email Larry, two R's, Gassman, two S's, at roadrunner.com. Alan Lemley, Co-Chair, accessibleworld.org, phone 601-919-6907. Email walemly at gmail.com. The Accessible World of Division of Helping Hands for the Blind, a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, seeks to educate the general public, the disabled community, and the professionals who serve them by providing highly relevant information about new products, services, and training opportunities designed specifically to eliminate geographic and access barriers that adversely affect them. Signed, Don Queen. Kendra Schaber asked this question of the news list. Hi, y'all. Yesterday, I learned that I have a math learning disability in addition to my blindness. Does anyone know if Bard has good books regarding math learning disabilities? I have found several good-looking books about numbers and math itself, but I might need something a bit more specific. I'm looking for books regarding algebra, trigonometry, calculus, and statistics. The moderator suggested that the writer consult the website learningally.org. Here are his results. Teaching Mathematics Meaningfully, Solutions for Reaching Struggling Learners by Alsop David. Copyright 2007, ISBN number 13:978-155-766-8660, 217 megabytes. Barron's SAT Strategies for Students with Learning Disabilities, copyright 2008, ISBN 13:978-076-413-7976, file size 107 megabytes. Essentials of Evidence-Based Academic Interventions, Essentials of Psychological Assessment Services by Barbara J. Wendling, Nancy Mather, copyright 2009, ISBN 13:978-047-020-6324, 167 megabytes. Strategy Instruction for Students with Learning Disabilities, What Works for Special Needs Learners by Robert Reed. Copyright 2006, ISBN 13:978-159-385-2825, file size 169 megabytes. Strategies for Teaching Students with Learning and Behavior Problems, My Education Lab Services by Sharon R. Vaughn, Candace S. Boss. 8th edition, copyright 2012, ISBN 13:978-013-703-4673, file size 673 megabytes. Academic Success Strategies for Adolescents with Learning Disabilities and ADHD by Esther H. Minskoff, copyright 2003. ISBN 13 number 978-155-766-6253, 192 megabytes. Math Instruction for Students with Learning Problems, copyright 2007, ISBN 13-978-020-546-0892, 357 megabytes. Designing and Implementing Mathematics Instruction for Students with Diverse Learning Needs by Pamela P. Hudson, Susan Peterson Miller, copyright 2006, ISBN 13-978-0205-442-065, 462 megabytes. Why a School for Blind Musicians is Being Evicted at Christmas Time by Corey Kilgannon, December 20th, 2018. It was supposed to be a cheery holiday performance in front of the large Christmas tree at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, but the music school ensemble seemed to be singing for its survival. The school, which has served blind and visually impaired musicians in Manhattan since 1913, finds its existence imperiled by its own parent group, a charitable organization with a mission to help the blind. Singers were led into place by volunteers or guide dogs, but before the music started, the school's executive director, Dr. Leslie Jones told the crowd inside the museum's medieval sculpture hall that the school would be separating at the end of the month from its longtime parent entity, Lighthouse Guild International. This was a cordial take on the situation. The Lighthouse Guild sent a letter to students in June, in large print for the visually impaired, notifying them that the 105-year-old school would no longer be part of the Guild's future and that it must leave the Guild's building on West 64th Street. This decision was difficult because the school has been a part of the fabric of Lighthouse Guild for over 100 years. Dr. Alan Morris, president of the Guild, wrote in the letter. Jillian Rackett, 24, who sings in the vocal ensemble and volunteers at the school as a music teacher on Saturdays, recalled getting the letter over the summer. To find out in some dry letter that we have to look for a new home, it just seemed like, oh, we don't really care about you, Miss Rackett said. Faced with an order to vacate by the end of December, school officials will spend Christmas week packing up 12 grand pianos, its estimable Braille music library, and other items, presumably to go into storage. Ms. Jones declined to comment on the situation, explaining that she did not want to jeopardize the school's separation arrangements with the Guild. She referred requests for comment to the Guild. A Guild spokeswoman said its officials would not comment. Ms. Rackett provided the Times a copy of Dr. Morris's letter, which said that the school's leaders must make organizational changes to direct our resources to support and serve the largest number of people who are living with potentially facing vision loss. School volunteers and students said the school, officially known as the Philemon M. D'Agostino Greenberg Music School, was scrambling to find temporary space in Manhattan, a daunting challenge given its limited budget and Manhattan's high rents, by late January to avoid canceling the spring semester. Ms. Jones, they said, was scrambling to incorporate the school as a nonprofit in order to organize its own finances and raise funds, as well as transfer its endowments and funding streams out of the Guild's control. The school's revenue has come from its modest tuition, grants, and private fundraising, as well as funding from the Guild, which also provided space for the school. She's been trying to fight for the future of the school and the survival of the school, said David Malkin, a lawyer in Manhattan who helps the school with its endowments. What's going to happen for them is uncertain, he said, of the school. They're hoping they'll find a new home and sustaining support to continue their mission. The school has been an unsung staple of New York City arts circles for decades, including 20 years of performances at the Metropolitan Museum of Art and holiday recitals at Midtown Manhattan office buildings. The blind teenage jazz prodigy Matthew Whitaker is a student there, and accomplished alumni include the blind musician Jose Feliciano, who is currently traveling in Vienna but sent a statement recalling that the school helped him learn music transcription and other skills. Mr. Feliciano called the Guild's decision no longer to house the school callous. Perhaps they don't care anymore, he said. When you consider the school's benefits and how important and meaningful it is to so many people, it's just very sad. The school serves 120 students, children and adults of varying musical levels. All students attend part-time for lessons, classes, and other services, including Braille music transcription. In addition to several performance groups, the school has an archive of roughly 25,000 Braille and large print musical scores that it is said is second to only the collection held by the Library of Congress in size. Losing their home has been particularly upsetting for students, some of whom spoke of their disappointment in the Guild, which has long promoted itself as a beacon of hope and an advocate for the blind. The school has been such an empowering place, and it's just so painful to see these students being sent a message that blind education doesn't matter, and that the school is not worth keeping open and they have no say in any of it, said Leona Godin, a former student. For more than a century, the school was part of Lighthouse International, which in 2013 merged with the Jewish Guild Healthcare to form the Lighthouse Guild. The Guild has also closed the Harriet and Robert Heilbrunn School for students who are blind and have other severe disabilities. Its 33 workers were laid off in December, and its 53 students were placed in other schools. The music school is named after its main benefactor, Philemon D'Agostino Greenberg, a self-taught stock trader who died in 2000 when she was 101. Mr. Malkin is the director of the Philemon M. D'Agostino Foundation, which donates $100,000 a year to the school, and had served on the Guild's board of directors, but he said he resigned from the board because he was so disturbed by its decision. Regarding the students, he said they are at risk for so many other things, and to lose this resource and opportunity puts them at even greater risk. After the holiday concert on Wednesday, one student, Daniel Gillen, 24, tucked away his Braille choral music and picked up his long white cane. He said he was hopeful that the school would find at least interim space. "We're not going to be left on the sidelines," he said. Correction, dated December 21st, 2018, an earlier version of this article misstated how the New York Times obtained a letter sent to students of the music school by Dr. Alan Morse, the president of Lighthouse Guild International. The letter was provided by Jillian Rackett, a student at the school, not by Leslie Jones, the school's director. CCLVI Shigert Scholarships 2019 to 2020. The Council of Citizens with Low Vision International, CCLVI, an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind, annually awards three scholarships in the amount of $3,000 each to full-time college students, an incoming freshman, an undergraduate, and a graduate student, all of whom must be low vision, maintain a strong GPA, and be involved in school and local community activities. Application materials must be received by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time, March 15, 2019. Scholarship monies will be awarded for the 2019-2020 academic year. To access the guidelines and application, visit http://cclvi.org and click on the Shigert Scholarship link. That's S-C-H-E-I-G-E-R-T Scholarship. Applications will be available to complete and submit online from January 1st, 2019 to the March 15th deadline. Questions may be directed to 844-460-0625. Incomplete applications will not be considered. We look forward to receiving your application materials. American Council of the Blind, Nebraska, Incorporated, P.O. Box 6506, Omaha, Nebraska, 68106-0506. Call 402-699-2363. Website https://www.acbnebraska.org. Email jim@acbnebraska.org. And from NFB.org's scholarship program, the National Federation of the Blind's annual scholarship program is the largest of its kind in the nation. Every year, we award more than $120,000 to blind scholars across the United States and Puerto Rico in recognition of their achievements and professional aspirations. The 2019 scholarship application is now open and will be available online through March 31st. Please see below for additional information. Thanks to our generous partners, there are 30 merit-based scholarships currently available, ranging from $3,000 to $12,000. All scholarships are awarded based on academic excellence, community service, and leadership. The finalists are announced every spring. They attend our national convention in July when the winners of each individual scholarship are selected. Winners have gone on to succeed in careers ranging from computer science and engineering to civil rights law and international diplomacy. There are hot links for the 2018 winners as well as past winners. Application information deadline for the 2019 awards. Application materials will be available beginning November 1st, 2018, and will be due by midnight Eastern Time on March 31st, 2019, either submitted online or postmarked. Eligibility requirements. The following requirements apply to all applicants. Must be legally blind in both eyes. Must be residing in the United States, the District of Columbia, or Puerto Rico. Must be pursuing or planning to pursue a full-time post-secondary course of study in a degree program at a U.S. institution in the fall of the year of application. One scholarship may be given to a person employed full-time while attending school part-time. Must participate in the entire NFB National Convention and in all of its scheduled scholarship program activities. Finalists will receive assistance to attend the National Convention. How to apply? 1. Confirm your eligibility by confirming you are legally blind in both eyes. 2. Apply online or through the mail. Online scholarship application form at a hot link. Please note that if a PDF file will not upload to the online form, you can attach it to an email and send it to scholarships@nfb.org or print a scholarship application form. Helpful resources, a hot link for a list of scholarships, a hot link for self-advocacy in higher education, a Word document by President Mark Riccobono, hot links for college scholarships and financial aid for students with disabilities by Affordable Colleges Online, helping students with visual disabilities, resources, tools, and technology to foster school success by Accredited Schools Online. Contact information. If you have questions or need more information, please contact our Scholarship Committee Chairperson. Email is preferred. Katie Mendez, Chairperson, that's C-A-Y-T-E Mendez, NFB Scholarship Committee, email scholarships@nfb.org. Phone her at 410-659-9314, extension 2415. NFB Scholarship Program, National Federation of the Blind, 200 East Wells Street at Jernigan Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230. From Janet Dickelman, this update on the convention for ACB in July. Friday evening, July 5th, join your pals on a narrated 3-hour Erie Canal boat cruise. Our group will take over the entire boat, the Colonial Belle. We will be served a plated dinner with a cash bar available. Explore the Erie Canal, including a trip through the famous locks. There will be times during the tour when everyone will be asked to sit down. As the song says, low bridge, everybody down. What a great start to convention week. If you take the Genesee Country Village tour, you will be back in time to also enjoy the Colonial Belle. Don't miss out on the fun. Make your hotel reservations today. Eyes on Success posts. This week, to kick off the 9th year of Eyes on Success, we have episode 1901, That All May Read, January 2nd, 2019, air date. The National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, NLS, provides free audio and braille reading material to people with any reading disability. Hosts Nancy and Peter Torpy talk with Karen Kenninger, director of the NLS, about the service, who qualifies, and what exciting changes patrons can expect in the next few years. As usual, the audio and show notes can be found at www.eyesonsuccess.net. And you can also listen to your smart speaker or subscribe to the podcast. Tell a friend about Eyes on Success. Happy New Year! Old Dominion University is hosting a study examining the relationship between barriers to physical activity, beliefs about expectations for success, and the importance of physical activity, and physical activity participation among adults with visual impairments. To conduct this study, we need the participation of adults over the age of 18 who have a visual impairment ranging from low vision to no light perception. This study will ask participants to complete an online survey consisting of 44 questions, which should take approximately 30 minutes. All responses will be anonymous and confidential. All participants who complete the online survey will have the option to enter a drawing to win one $50 gift card or one of two $20 gift cards. If you or someone you know is interested in participating in this study, please follow the link below. This study consists of an online survey which includes 44 questions and should take you about 30 minutes to complete. All of your responses will be anonymous and confidential. The preferred method of taking this survey uses Google Forms platform, and the recommended browser is Google Chrome. Recommended screen reader is JAWS 2018. The survey is also accessible via Survey Gizmo, which is compatible with Internet Explorer. Please complete the survey using only one of the platforms. To begin the study using Google Forms, please go to https://goo.gl/forms/ULAFGUFLG2. To begin the survey using Survey Gizmo, please go to https://www.mysurveygizmo.com. gizmo.com/S3/474-2298/barriers-expectancy-value-beliefs-and-physical-activity-engagement-among-adults-with-visual-impairments. If you would like to complete the survey but are unable to do so using Google Forms, please contact me at the address or phone number below to request a Microsoft Word version of the survey or telephone assistance. If you have any questions regarding this study, please contact me. My information is T. Nicole Kirk, PhD candidate, Old Dominion University. Email tkirk001@odu.edu. Call 618-967-2886. Signed, Justin A. Hagela, Ph.D., CAPE, Assistant Professor, Health and Physical Education, Department of Human Movement Sciences, Old Dominion University, 757-683-5338, 2009 Student Recreation Center, Norfolk, Virginia, 23529. From TimeIncorporated.com or Time.com, this new watch lets blind people read real smart time smartphone data in Braille. Until now, visually impaired smartphone users have had to rely on Siri and other readers to find their way around the internet and digital world. But a device in development in South Korea may change their experience completely by instantly turning text messages and other information into Braille. The Dot, a device that straps around the wrist like a watch, uses magnets and a grid of pins to create four Braille characters at a time that change at adjustable speeds, allowing users to read text messages and use apps on any device via Bluetooth. Eric Ju-Yoon Kim, co-founder and CEO of startup Dot, told Tech in Asia he hopes his company's innovation will free blind people to interact with their devices on their own terms. Until now, if you got a message in iOS from your girlfriend, for example, you had to listen to Siri read it to you in that voice, which is impersonal, he said. Wouldn't you rather read it yourself and hear your girlfriend's voice saying it in your head? That kind of technology is not groundbreaking, but transferring it to a mobile device certainly is. Just like the price, computers using so-called active Braille technology can cost $3,000, while Kim says that when the watch arrives in the U.S., it will sell for less than $300. 90% of blind people become blind after birth, and there's nothing for them right now. They lose their access to information so suddenly, Kim told Tech in Asia. Dot can be their lifeline, so they can learn Braille and access everyday information through their fingers. The Dot Watch has been put into production and is now available in the United States for $400. The first Braille smartwatch introducing the Dot Watch. Long battery life, continuous and timeless. From morning's first light to evening's last star, enjoy stable Bluetooth networking with long-lasting battery life of 10 days. The Dot Watch is ready to go with you. With these goals in mind, we conceived the Dot Watch, a beautifully designed smartwatch that you can wear every day. Powered by our innovative patented technology, the Dot Rotor, this is the first time Braille is put into motion and integrated into an electronic device. Embrace being the first to experience it, designed to touch the display. Feel the dots come up and prod at your fingertips. How many are there? One, followed by two dots on the hour module. That means it is now 12 o'clock. Checking for time is that simple. So are getting notifications. Just wait for your dot watch to vibrate. It'll tell you who reached out. We've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Please be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. Please call 919-832-5138 if you have comments or questions. So long until next time.